Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in tight. Let's go!
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Happy Saturday, Sam Crowley, host of the Everyday Saturday podcast. It's great to have you. It's really great to have you on the number one motivational podcast on the planet. It's Tuesday, September 16th, 2014. An amazing day is about to begin. You believe that? An amazing day is about to begin. You know, I was thinking this morning about this past weekend in L.A. and Chicago. And in L.A., at that event, hey, by the way, I haven't given a shout-out. I don't think I gave a shout-out yesterday to all our new listeners. You know, we're in over 100 countries around the world with the Everyday Saturday Show. It's for entrepreneurs, dreamers, doers, you know, people that actually want to do something, create momentum. And if you have yet to subscribe to the show, please head on over to iTunes. Not only subscribe, leave a 5-star rating. Just click that 5-star button. It takes literally a millisecond to do that. Would be even better. You know, it'd be really even more awesome is if you left a great review on iTunes as well. Why? So people can find the show. It helps people find this show faster on iTunes and pop up quicker as the number one show for people who want to tune in to get motivated and inspired. So do it. I'm in LA last week. And at the end of the event, well, at least at the end of the day, I spoke Friday right before dinner. So I spoke at around 5:30 or so Friday night, Pacific time. And after I spoke, we had a dinner break, and we brought a panel back up. And it was a panel of speakers who were at the event. So there was probably 5 or 6 of us there, and we were up on stage just kind of hanging out, just sitting in, you know, director chair type setting. And we were asked a bunch of different questions by Adam Markell, the CEO of Peak Potentials. And one of the questions I thought was interesting, I never laughed so hard in my entire life. I'll tell you the same story. I'll tell you what the question was, and then I'll tell you the answers that I heard from the other speakers, which were just great answers, and why I was laughing so hard I literally couldn't catch my breath, and everybody there was laughing probably harder than I was. It kept me from crying. But there was a lot of questions of the panel about business, about success, about mindset, about failure. You know, all of that that you would want to learn from. The name of the event I spoke at was called Guerrilla Business School. So they were learning how, you know, just great content on how to run a business, start a business, monetize, marketing, all that good stuff. So it's like a 4 or 5 day event. And at the end of Friday night, they brought the speakers up. And one of the questions, we were about 45 minutes into the discussion, asking different questions of the panel of speakers. And one of the questions was, tell us about your biggest financial failure and what that was like and what it felt like and, you know, what was going through your mind and things like that. And as usual, we all think we've got the worst story. Like, nobody's as dumb as I am. Of course, after I told my story, I still think nobody is as dumb as I was to be able to do what I did. But you never think, like, when you're going through the fire, when you're going through the challenges, you never think nobody's as stupid. I mean, this only happens to me. You ever have that thought? Like, this only happens to me. Just my luck. I mean, nobody has this happen. I mean, we all think that way because we do stupid things, and then we can't believe we did the stupid things, and then you're like, well, you know, Les Brown, Tony Robbins wouldn't have done that. You know, Oprah Winfrey never done that. Well, yes, yes, and yes. Everybody who's ever tried to be an entrepreneur or dared to be great at all has done something stupid, and most likely it's been in the spotlight, because when you own a business, you're a little bit more out there than being a sheltered employee sitting in a cubicle hiding behind your supervisor or human resources or something like that. You know, so when you're out there actually doing it as an entrepreneur, it's a little bit different. And it looks so much worse when it's you. You know what I'm talking about? This is you, your failure. So I'm hearing the different speakers talk about, you know, one lady, Marsha, discussed she had bought a piece of, she had bought her dream home, she thought at the time, you know, a very large investment, maybe 400 grand in a home in California at the time. I mean, this might have been 20 years ago, 25 years ago, maybe even 30 years ago. It was a long time ago. And it turned out it was just, it was a false floor built on it, hiding a crack, a huge crack in the ground and the foundation. And bottom line, I mean, the house literally had to be demoed. And, you know, she went in to talk about that story, how she recovered from that, other people talking about failed businesses. But they all had a happy ending in the sense, well, think about it. They're all sitting on a stage, you know, speaking to a group of future entrepreneurs, current and future entrepreneurs. So it had to have some success to it. And the mindset to the whole, you know, the process, what I heard speakers talking about was you really were, you know, you're really faced with a choice. It feels like you're alone on an island. You know what I'm talking about? Like you go through a failure and you think, well, this is just me. I have no resources, no help, I'm done. And what I heard from the other speakers was these entrepreneurs were, I wasn't done. I just had to really shift how I went about this problem because I really had never had anything this monumental happen in my life before. Like I really had to either change who I was or accept my future, you know? So as you're going through challenges, you're going through maybe a bankruptcy or a health or financial, whatever it could be, right? There's a million different things that could happen to us or for us. And that's another way you look at it. Is this happening to me or for me? If you're a victim, it's happening to you. If you're a champion, it's happening for you to teach you a lesson on how not to do it or do it better, you know, down the road. So, of course, the question and the microphone got handed to yours truly. And there's only one answer for my biggest financial failure. It's not even a close second. And it's the Quiznos I bought in 2005, at the end of 2004. We closed actually the third week of January. I mean, I remember of 2005. I remember like it was yesterday, man. So you only get a few minutes to answer the question. I could have talked about this for hours, you know, because it was such a turning point in my life. I mean, think about this. At the end of 2004, I was on a spiral down the tubes, man. I bought a Ford F-150 FX4 off-road big red pickup truck, brand new off the showroom floor at King's Ford here in Mason, Ohio. Just because I could sign my name at that point in time and pretty much get anything. It was 2004. Keep in mind, banks were lending. There wasn't any credit restrictions. You have a set of 720 credit score with a six-figure documented W-2 wage income. I mean, come on, man. I mean, the only thing holding me back was how much money I wanted to borrow. And that's dangerous for a lot of reasons. When you're an idiot like I was, you just go buy stuff, buying things you can't afford with money you don't have to impress people that you don't even like. And I'm so happy that that point in time happened to me because it really changed me, changed who I was, changed how I viewed life, changed how I viewed money. Buying this pickup truck was the stupidest damn thing I ever did in my entire life. I ended up getting it repoed in August of that year, September of that year, you know, same year, pretty much 2005. I closed on it New Year's Eve of 2004. Tried to quit my job over Christmas vacation of that year, 2004, was unsuccessful, got talked back into staying. I was just miserable. By the way, if anybody ever wants to quit a job, let them quit. Because once you save them, it's only temporary. It's just a stay of execution. You know, there's myself included, everybody. Once you've checked out mentally, even if you can be talked off the ledge and come back, eventually you're still going back to that same place. Because there's a reason you wanted to leave, you know. So I bought the pickup truck. I bought the Quiznos. I was just buying stuff, man. And none of it made me happy. Pickup truck was neat to drive around for about 3 weeks until I got my first coupon in the mail for the truck payment. It was like $550. Here's the thing. You know what's funny? I got a company car. I traded in a company car just to drive this stupid pickup. And I was commuting 30 miles one way to work, so 60 miles every single day. Gas was $4 a gallon. So just think about all of that, getting about 15 miles to the gallon, driving a pickup truck. I mean, what is up? You know what I thought about? Because I knew I was buying the Quiznos. I thought I was going to use the pickup truck to do deliveries on the weekends. No joke. With subs, like deliver subs, even though Quiznos doesn't even deliver. I was actually the first store in Cincinnati that delivered, you know, in the suburbs. So, yeah, with all that going on, I bought the Quiznos in January, and, you know, closed on it, tried to run it from, as you know the story, you've probably heard this if you know anything about my story, if you read the book or have listened to my show at all, you know that I was trying to run this store from my corporate office, failing miserably. I mean, just, you can't do it. I was absentee. The term absentee owner, I gave that a whole new meaning. I mean, I didn't even want to go in my own store because I was embarrassed. I owned it, didn't like it, didn't like the way it looked. I mean, it's just terrible, so stupid. So in the summer, I quit my job May 6, 2005. I went to the training store here in Columbus to get certified to run my own store because I wasn't even certified. I was just the owner. I wasn't even technically, you know, allowed to work in the store, you know, from a management capacity. I had to spend 3 weeks in Columbus at a training store, literally learning how to make subs, wrap subs, work the register, stock the shelves, sweep the dining room. I mean, all of that stuff, you know. And it's similar to, which isn't bad. I mean, it's not, you should. If you're going to own a store, you got to know how it runs inside and out. And I thought actually that point in time, it was kind of cool that I owned something. I'd never really owned anything. Yeah, you know, I never really owned a business. And it's like if you were to own a car dealership, for example, you have to spend time learning the parts department, service department, sales floor. Every car dealer that buys one has to work in all of those different departments. So it's no different than that, you know. The only difference was it was kind of a wake-up call my first few days as I was working on the line, you know, the sub-make line, and I was only allowed to put lettuce on the sub and wrap it. That's it. I was allowed no more, afforded no more responsibility than to put lettuce, and quite honestly, I think that's all I could handle at the time. I was in a very fragile state, so it's probably all I could handle. So I had this this 5'2", you know, Middle Eastern guy who owned the store. Nice guy, but boy, he was a tyrant. I mean, I guess you got to be a drill sergeant, but holy cow, he's just screaming at me the whole time. Got to put lettuce. Ask them if they want lettuce on the sub. You're wrapping it. The logo has to face up, not down. I'm like, dude, I am about 4 seconds away from hauling off and punching you right in the head. But I didn't do it because I wouldn't have got my store. That wouldn't have been cool. So anyway, went through all of that the first week. Got better the second week and then the third week. And then I had to go to Denver, Colorado for a week of the admin training, you know. Q school, they call it. Q school. Then I got back to Cincy and I could, you know, right around the first week of June, I could run my own store. So long story short, I brought numbers up from that store 40% from where they had previously been in the previous year, but nowhere near where I needed to be to make any money at all. I was still losing some money. So right around August, I'm like, I'm done. This was a story I was telling. I didn't tell the group on stage that first few minutes I just shared with you, but I did tell them this part. And that is, you know, I stopped going into my own store. I just stopped going in. I didn't want to go in anymore, which is kind of a problem if the owner stops going into his own store. You know what I mean? Like if you're an employee and you quit going to work, you just quit. You get fired, whatever. You're just done. You know, they say, hey, you're not coming in, I guess. No. Okay. Well, you're done. Yeah, okay, I'm done. When you're the owner of the store and you stop going in, it's a little bit different story. Like employees are calling saying, hey, boss, you coming in? I'm like, I don't think so. You guys are good. They're like, okay, we don't really, just see the man. You had a manager there. A guy's name was Jamie. He's all right. You know, he just, he was okay. So I'm like, I'm thinking about this story as I'm talking from Sam, saying, God, that was so sad. Like, telling the story seemed so ridiculous than actually, like, I was actually justifying at the time going through that process. As I remember back in the summer of 2005, it was about 100 degrees out every day, it felt like. And I just checked out. I talked to my old boss at work and got a job, not my old job, but I got a job back in the office, as I tell the story, sitting in a cubicle. And I said, all right, well, I'm going back to work, so I guess I'm just out of the Quiznos business. And I gave it a good 90 days, you know, actively in the store. Couldn't make it work. And I remember the manager, it got so bad. I wasn't ordering inventory anymore. I mean, we had hardly any bread left, sub rolls, things like that. I mean, the store was literally going out of business, but I didn't really tell anybody what my plans were. And I'll never forget, manager Jamie calls me at home. During the week one time, he said, hey, boss, we don't have any turkey. I go, yeah. And I didn't even care. I'm like, yeah. All right, well, First of all, a Quiznos without turkey. Think of Subway. All right. Think about Subway not having any turkey in inventory. Okay. And then we're out of like white and wheat bread. We got like some stupid ciabatta bread that nobody ever ordered, you know, cheese parm bread or something. Basically, I said to him, yeah, man, okay, cool, no turkey. Well, let's not order any this week. Serve veggie subs or something, you know. Let's get rid let's use up all the vegetables. And I could hear like a silence, and that's, I think, when it even hit him. He wasn't the sharpest tool in the shed. Nice guy, but wasn't that smart. But I think it even hit him at the time. It's like, oh, boy, I better start looking for another job. I think the boss has lost it. And he was right. I did. I checked out, mentally gone. I never wanted to see another Quiznos the rest of my life, and certainly never wanted to run a restaurant. And that's why I don't have any employees. Outside of a few different occasions of running every day of Saturday, I've never really had employees. You know, I've had virtual assistants. I still have a lot of virtual assistants at work, but these are independent contractors. You know, you use them when you need them. They're great people. They don't want to be an employee. Nothing's better than running a business using independent contractors, you know, 1099 people like that here in the U.S. They just, you 1099 them at the end of the year. Nothing's better than having people that don't want to be an employee and you don't want to have employees. I mean, that is a perfect marriage right there. They don't want to be micromanaged. They don't want to be supervised. They work at their own pace. They get paid for the value they deliver, and you feel the exact same way. As opposed to having an employee who you have to, you know, say, isn't this a great place to work? Isn't this a great place to be, everybody? Woohoo! Yeah, let's give it up. Everybody clap. Yay, 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 yay. You know, that crap, you know? You don't do that as an entrepreneur. So that's why I run a very lean business. And I was talking to my buddy Joel Kalm, too. Check out Joel. Great guy. Joel Kalm. JoelKalm.com. And he's been in this space forever. I mean, he's one of the early pioneers in the entrepreneurial world. And we were talking because he was at that same event in L.A. this past weekend. And he was, at one time, he had 38 employees, I think he said, in his office. And now he's basically a solopreneur. And he loves it. Loves it. And I've always been a solopreneur because, you know, there's some value to having an office and employees. That's just not my talent. That's another thing I understand. It's just another thing that I learned through this failure. I am not a good manager of people, of employees, put it that way. I'm not a good man because I don't even believe in being an employee myself. So it's hard for me to rally people who I know half of which, at least half of them, don't want to be here. They're just here because they want a paycheck. You know what I mean? Like, I would rather have 1099 independent contractors who absolutely love what they do working as part of the Everyday Saturday team, as opposed to having to sell somebody on how great it is to have a job. So it's just a lot of lessons. But boy, the entire room, I'm talking 300-400 people, just howling, laughing. I couldn't even get it out of my mouth. I was laughing so hard trying to convey the message that I just stopped showing up for my own business. And there's something to be said for that, man. It was sad. I hit rock bottom. I mean, to say I hit rock bottom would be a disservice to people who have actually hit rock bottom because they were actually higher on the food chain of success than I was. I mean, I drove the car off the cliff, man. And you know what? 9 years later, I'm still here to talk about it, still laughing about it. See, I laugh about this to give you hope. If you're going through some challenges financially, through business, maybe with business associates, maybe friends, I don't know. A lot of drama out there in the world, a lot of emotions, a lot of personalities, a lot of people can take things a different way. But you got to understand, you know, put yourself another rung on the ladder looking down on this problem. It's very difficult to do when you're going through the process. You know what I'm talking about? Like, when you're going through this fire, it's difficult to say, well, it's going to get better, because you never feel like it's going to get better. You still got a pit in your stomach. You still don't have any money in your account. But as you can just climb one rung up the ladder, get another job, get another business, get some money coming in. And we can all do that. You know, it's just a matter of saying, I'm going to do this today. But it does get a lot better. And I never in a million years, had you told me in 2005, in August of 2005, 9 years ago, that I'd be laughing about this, speaking on stages all around the world, sharing this same message. I mean, at that time, every day Saturday was just a few words. It wasn't even a website. It wasn't a message. It never spoke about it ever in my life. And now it's every fiber of my being. And I'm saying that to encourage you to just stay in the game, you know? maybe there is something you have to quit. You know, quitting, I wrote a book, you know, The Quitter's Guide. What was that, 2009 or so, 2010? And it was about quitting. And it wasn't, the phrase was, quitters always win and winners always quit. Now, obviously, I did it for marketing, you know, because it's an opposite, complete opposite of the other saying. But I said that because there are certain things you just got to quit, man. You just got to quit saying, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. Quit smoking. Quit sitting on the couch. Quit not exercising. You know, quit not eating right. Quit hanging around people that are bringing you down. Those types of things, it's great to quit. Quitting's a great word when used in that context. Addiction is a great word when you're talking about being addicted to personal development, to being addicted to success, to your passion, to your purpose. You know, brainwashing is a great term when you're brainwashing those same types of thoughts of helping the world and being part of the change that you want to see in the world. And look, there's a different way, different take on just about every word in the English language. But it all starts with those 6 inches between your ears. Or are you going to be able to climb one step up on that ladder, look down and say, okay, I see what's going on here and let's change this a little bit. And I promise you, as time goes by, you're going to look back on what you think right now is an insurmountable problem. It can never be solved and I'm done. You know, life is over and I'm broke. It isn't like that at all. I promise you it's not. Because as I heard all these different speakers, I'm like, wow, I just did something insanely stupid. Bought a business, went bankrupt, stopped even going into my own business. I mean, that's just stupid stuff. I would never tell anybody to do that. But I'll tell you another thing, shook me up, changed my life, changed the course of my life, changed the message of my life, the purpose. And keep in mind, when I was going through all this, I had 2 kids and another one on the way. Our youngest, Paige, hadn't even been born. Her 9th birthday is next month, October. She was born October 2005. So of all of this going on, I'm still here, you know? I'm healthier now than I've ever been, happier now than I've ever been. Got a great family, God willing. Our baby Susan, another day on earth today, September 16th. The girl's alive and kicking. Guys, life's good. Let's not lose sight of that. Life is very, very good, okay? So just keep that in mind as you go about your day today. And speaking of today, my name's Sam Crowley, host of the Everyday Saturday podcast. Have the best day ever.
Thank you for listening to the Everyday is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Everyday is Saturday.